I'd like to turn, please, to the scriptures to read, first of all, from John's Gospel and the third chapter, please. John's Gospel in chapter 3 and verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that the Lord will add the blessing to the reading of his word, and we want to read two other verses, please. First of all, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we always place great importance on the reading of the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And further in the scriptures now to read in Revelation, please, and chapter number 20. Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw, says John, a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We know that the Lord will add a blessing to these very familiar and some very solemn portions from the Holy Scriptures. Now, the little thought that's on my mind for the meeting is very simple. I want to think from John chapter 3 and verse number 14 about the Saviour being lifted up. We've read those words that the Saviour said to Nicodemus. He says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent of brass and put it on a pole, he says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So I want to think of the Saviour being lifted up on the cross and the great salvation that is provided to meet the need of all. Then I want to think of saints being caught up. Paul writing concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. And then Paul explains what's going to take place. He says, the Lord himself, the man that died on the cross that we'll be preaching about, that was lifted up on a cross to provide salvation, now he's in heaven's throne. And he says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of archangel and the trump of God. And then we read these words, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's a word we want to think about. Just, we want to think of saints being caught up. And the scripture says, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Everyone in the room that's saved, we look forward to that moment when the Lord will come, the Lord himself, the one we love, the one we trusted, when he himself will come to the air and give the shout, and every soul that's saved, the dead in Christ rising first of all, of course, and then we which are alive and remain, all that are saved, caught up. I was impressed in the little prayer meeting in the room here that some of our men mentioned the coming again of the Lord Jesus. You know what we feel, people? And I know every parent feels it, and every saved person in the room feels this, and out there, we feel that we're just on the very verge of the coming again of the Lord. And I would say to everyone in the room, I trust we all know what when that happened, when Christ comes, if you're in your sins, for it, I say this gently to you, if you're in your sins, when the Lord comes, you're left, and you're left for judgment, I say that gently to you. An important truth to realize is when the Lord comes and catches the saints up, and that's it for sinners that have heard the gospel. So we'll be thinking about the Saviour being lifted up. We'll be thinking about saints being caught up. Well, then we'll have to think again, that's the Saviour lifted up, and the saints caught up, and then we'll have to think about sinners being brought up. John, before the Bible closes, he brings us to the final assay. Solemn reading, Revelation chapter 20. Solemn reading. As John saw the dead, small and great, they're brought up, and there they stand. The book's open. The Word of God will be there. Earth's records will be there. And of course the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. And here's what the Bible says, those that are brought up to stand before God. They've died in their sin. They've been left behind, or they've been left behind when the Lord comes, but they're lost. And they're brought up to stand. Book not in their name not in the book. And here's what the Bible says. Cast into. Imagine people. Imagine if there's one in the room here, or one in the hallway there, or if there's anybody listening in the car park, around the area. Imagine one to be cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible teaches people. The Saviour was lifted up, that you might be saved. We'll be preaching that. The Lord's about to catch up the saved. It's time you were saved. And we'll have to think about sinners being brought up, and the awful sentence which they will receive, whosoever not found written in the book, cast into the lake of fire. In this chapter that we have read from in John chapter 3, we have four times this word used, must. We have read the middle one. The Lord, even so must the Lord, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Before that, the Lord Jesus, as you all know, likely the most you know, the background to this, to these verses that we have read from, that there's a man and his name was Nicodemus. He came to Christ. He was a good man. He was a religious man, an educated man. He was a very charitable man, and he was a very commendable man in many ways. But as the Saviour, as he came to the Saviour on that occasion, the Saviour spoke plain words to him. He reminded him again, as we read in verse number 3 of that chapter. He says, Nicodemus, while all those things are good and fine, and all those different things you have achieved, and your past life, and all that, that's all fine. But Nicodemus, if you're ever going to be in heaven, you must be born again. He said in verse 3, three times over the Lord Jesus reminds Nicodemus. He says, now listen, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, Nicodemus was like you and I. We had the wrong start. We had a bad start. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short. We have missed the mark. And I know you've heard that so often, but that needs to be preached in every meeting. Just that man is guilty, and that man is lost, and man is condemned, and in their sin. And Nicodemus learned that on this particular night. Nicodemus, if you're ever going to be in heaven, Nicodemus, you need a second birth. You need to be born again. You need to be born from above. You must have your sins forgiven. And dear soul, the Bible never changes. And the Word of God, for John's the writer that tells us the Scriptures cannot be broken. That is a truth that we need to preach week after week and day after day, that man is lost, and man is guilty, and man is perishing, and man in their sins are unfit for God's heaven and only fit for hell. I tell you, it's a truth, dear soul, that we need to understand clearly, and we need to preach clearly, just that man is guilty and man is perishing. And Nicodemus, while there could have been many commendable things said about him, and maybe likely many in the room here, and many commendable things could be said about you as well, but Nicodemus had to understand. Nicodemus, you're born, your first birth, you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and in your sins, Nicodemus. Well, Nicodemus, except you're born again, you'll never be in heaven. I know I'm speaking to people, and you've likely heard that so often. You've heard that over and over and over again. But could I just remind you gently? And I good to see so many young people here again today. This afternoon, I learned this truth when I was young. I would say generally from a father's knee, learning the truth of the absolute necessity of being saved and being born again. It's a great thing to learn that early in life, that there's no possibility of heaven, no possibility of escaping the judgment that our sins deserve without a definite conversion to God, without being born again. That's why the Saviour mentioned that word must in verse number 7. He says, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And of course, we always link that with Acts 4 and 12. Again, those four words that are spoken. There, Peter was the preacher. He says, we, that's you and I. He had spoken all for Turning up the chapter about all the religious leaders and all the different people. He mentions people by name, and then he mentions people generally, and then he speaks about himself, and then he just says it at the end of verse number 12. He says, we must be saved. And that's why, dear soul, we emphasize another evening. Don't please let the devil deceive you. You might be brought up in a Christian home, and you might have parents that pray for you, and you might be sheltered, and you might be whatever, and without the new birth, without a definite conversion to God. I tell you, people, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. But not only the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus that, but he reminded him in verse number 14. And that's what was really on my mind for the meeting. You see, Nicodemus would have been very familiar with that story, but we're not going to look at that story tonight. But the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, you see, Nicodemus, when he heard that he needed the new birth, he says to the Lord Jesus, how can these things be? In other words, Lord Jesus, if that's what I need, but greater there's people in the meeting like that. If that's what I need, if I need the new, tell me, Nicodemus, how can I get it? Or tell me, Nicodemus said to Christ, how can I have this matter? How can I be born again? He says, how, verse 9, he says, how can these things be? And the Lord Jesus told him, he says, here's a must, Nicodemus. He says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent of brass upon a pole. I want you to catch this, dear friend. Here's what Jesus Christ said. I also think it was most touching for Christ that night as he stood with Nicodemus, just the two of them in the meeting, just the two at the meeting. And the Lord Jesus speaking about the serpent of brass been lifted up on a pole to meet the need of that on that occasion. And then speaking about himself. Imagine Christ speaking about himself. He says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted. Speaking about himself. See, the one that was speaking to Nicodemus was the Son of Man. He was God's Son from heaven. He was the one that verse 16 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was the only begotten Son. He was the darling Son. And he was speaking about himself, that he, the Lord Jesus, in order that Nicodemus and you and I can be saved, in order that you and I could be rescued, in order that you and I could be delivered, in order that you and I could have our sins forgiven. Here's the second must in John 3. Even so must. See, way back early in our Bible, in Genesis chapter 22, we read words like these when Abraham was asked by Isaac, where's the lamb? Here was the answer. God will provide the lamb. And God did provide the lamb. Promised away back in those early chapters. And God provided the lamb. The poet penned, but the victim, who shall find him? Such an one as sinners need. To the altar, who shall bind him? Who shall make the victim bleed? God himself provides the victim. And we're here to tell you again, dear soul, that God sent his only Son. We have that in verse number 17. The Father sent the Son. Our God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that God sent him that you and I might be saved. And in order that you and I could be saved, and in order that you and I can be saved, Jesus Christ was lifted up on a cross. He said, the Son of Man be lifted up. Didn't we sing it tonight? What took place when Christ was lifted up on a cross? John tells us in verse chapter number 19 of his gospel that he bearing his own cross, he took his own cross. In the earlier part of that chapter, we read about him standing with a crown of thorns upon his head and his back bleeding and his face, they smote him, his face, with a hand, and they buffeted him, and they set him at naught. Then John tells us he took his own cross, verse number 17, he took his own cross, and John speaks about Golgotha. He speaks about the two malefactors. And then verse 14 tells us he must be lifted up, and then they tell us that they took Jesus Christ alive, and they nailed him to a cross. There he is, lifted up on a cross. What's happening? There was God's Son, the eternal Son of God. For God so loving the world, he gave his only Son. The eternal Son of God, the one that never sinned, the one that couldn't sin. And now it's a must that he's lifted up on a cross. What's happening? There, the Holy Saviour. Well, lifted up. We sang tonight, didn't we? Lifted up. Why was he to die? There upon the cross, when Christ was lifted up between heaven and earth, there he hung. But when upon the tree, God, who was holy, laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. God made to meet upon him when he was on the cross God made to meet upon him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. The Bible tells us, John chapter 1 tells us, to behold the Lamb of God. Why? When he's on the cross, lifted up on the cross, he, the Son of God, beareth away the sin of the world. The sins of the world were laid on Christ. And that's what the gospel message is, that Christ on the cross died for our sin. Christ on the cross, Peter tells us, where he was lifted up, through his own self in that holy body, his own self bare our sins in his own precious blessed body upon the tree. And so Peter, writing again, tells us when Christ was on the cross that Christ suffered for sin. And Paul tells us that he, Christ, when on the cross lifted up, he must be lifted up. And when he was lifted up, he, Christ, was made sin for us. That one who knew no sin, and we preach that in the gospel, the one that was lifted up on the cross and the one that bore our sin, he himself knew no sin, did no sin, and in him is no sin. He was the sinless one. And because he was the sinless one, he was able to die. He was able to take the place. He was able to bear the judgment of God on account of your sin and mine. And John's the writer that tells us that there's a moment, and John tells us three times, that he was lifted up, must be lifted up, when he's lifted up. And I have I be lifted up. So John's the writer that tells us three times that he was lifted up. And John also is the writer that tells us that when he had all accomplished, and when he had paid in full everything that God's throne demanded on account of your sin and mine, when lifted up on the cross, John tells us the moment he cried, "Finished. Finish." And that's what we tell you, dear souls, tonight in the room. We tell you Christ was lifted up on a cross, and there in his own body he bore our sin, and Christ finished the work. That's what he said again himself in John 17, "For I, Christ," he says, "I have finished the work." He must be lifted up, and he was lifted up, and when upon the cross in his own body he bore our sin. The poet penned that when the Saviour cried, "It's finished," everything was fully done, done as God himself would have it. Christ the victory foot, what? And there the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus that he would be lifted up. And because he was lifted up, and because he died for our sins according to the scriptures, he said to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, whosoever believeth in him." See, if Christ lifted, the load of sin was laid upon him. And God's way of salvation is this: whosoever, we have it in verse 15 and verse 16 and in verse 18. Whosoever believeth in him. No confusion, people, when it comes to God's way of salvation. It's not working, and it's not waiting, or it's not praying, or it's not our own efforts, or it's nothing like that. No, dear soul. It has all been accomplished, and Christ must die, and Christ did die. And Christ's words to anyone in the room tonight, this afternoon, is whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In that lovely text, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," here we have it again, that whosoever believeth in him. There's God's way of salvation, God's simple plan of salvation. It's Christ and Christ alone. In John 6 and 47, the Lord Jesus, again speaking about himself, he says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I, Christ, say unto you," he says, "he." I just make it personal to everyone in the room, that boy in the room here, or that girl in the room, or the older friend, or whatever you are this afternoon, whomever, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I have been lifted up. Christ has died for sinners. Christ has died for the ungodly. Christ has died for our sin." Verily, John 6 and 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," that's himself. See, getting saved, friend, is trusting a person, is believing on Christ, resting on Christ, that here I am, a guilty sinner. Didn't the poet pen the words, adore him, the glorious work is done, the Father will not punish me, 'twas laid upon his Son, 'tis finished," cried his suffering soul, "and I my title see, I am the guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me, and whosoever, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And so has been blessed through the truth of John 3:16. And I trust, friend, it'll be your experience even now in the Gospel Hall here in Ballyclare this evening. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, lifted up on a cross, died for sinners, cried, "It's finished," and whosoever believeth in should not perish but have everlasting life. The poet penned, and with this I leave that point. The sinner who believes is free, can say the Saviour died for me, can point to his atoning blood and say, "This made my peace with God." So there the Saviour lifted up. I quote again what we sang tonight, "Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his now in heaven exalted." We say today, hallelujah, what a Saviour. We say to anyone here today without Christ, only trust him. Only trust him. He must be lifted up. He was lifted up. He died for sinners. And we say to you the same, only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. So there we have the Saviour lifted up. When we think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is bringing before us the truth, reminding us of the one that was lifted up on the cross, and he was lifted up and he was taken down, his body was gently taken down, and his body was laid in the tomb, and the third morning he rose out from amongst the dead, and he walked with his own for 40 days, and then he was received up into glory. And you remember that occasion when the Lord Jesus was received up. There were heavenly messengers, and here's what they said. As those that were there on that occasion, they were just looking, watching, as Jesus Christ just was taken up into glory. The last sight they would have had of Christ was just those pierced feet just ascending up into glory. The message that day was this: this same Jesus has taken up from you. He's so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And the Lord Jesus, that was the heavenly messenger. The Lord Jesus said, himself, he says, "I go." He says, "I will come again." Now, before he went back, he told his own on those memorable occasions, at the end of every gospel, he says, "In my absence, I want you to go and preach the gospel." He says, "You preach the gospel. Go to Ballyclare, preach the gospel." But he says, "When the gospel's preached, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." And he says, I'm going back to the Lord, but he says, "I'm coming again." And don't we feel, dear people, whenever I was a young person this many years ago, I used to hear men standing behind a desk like this, and they used to quote these words often. "I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door." As sure as we are sitting, yours are sitting in this gospel hall, dear soul, we do really believe that Jesus Christ is about to come. So someone so what? See, the principle about when we think of the Lord coming again, the Bible tells us that there's a requirement to be ready. The Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches that it's only those that are ready will go in. It's only those that are saved will be caught up. When you see their soul, I would say to everyone in the room, if you're not saved, you're not saved as yet. I can't tell you when Christ's coming. I can't. I don't know. But he could come at any moment. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Jesus Christ came today. Not at all. In fact, I didn't think, in my limited knowledge, I didn't think that we as Christians would be here in 2024, to tell you the truth. I thought the Lord had been here long ago. But here's a question, people, just for you all just to consider now. Gently, as I close the meeting here, if the Lord comes now, are you ready? Have you that living link with Christ? When the Lord comes, the Bible, the principle is the door will shut. As far as the gospel is concerned, the door will shut. No second chance. It's only those that are saved, as Paul tells us here, those that are saved just in a moment. Imagine if the Lord comes just now, just the dead raised, of course, and the living. Not a saved person left in the hall here. Not one saved person left in the hall. Not one saved person up the streets here. You imagine Ulster with not a saved person in it, and that could happen at any moment. And you think of souls just left. Oh, friend. Friend, I say to anyone in the room, what an awful thing it would be to be left. The verse in the Bible says, "The thing that I feared has come upon me." You know, when a soul realizes what was preached and what the Bible said would happen, has happened. Jesus Christ has come to the air. Jesus Christ has give the shout, the last trump, the dead that had died, their bodies was raised, and every saved person just at the same moment was caught up. That moment just caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Friend in the room tonight, I ask you gently to consider this question wisely. And I'll have to close. Can every boy say they're ready? I'm giving you time to think that. Can every girl say they're ready? What about the mothers here? What about the fathers? What about the students? What about the grannies in the room here? And you say you're ready for Fred. Listen, people. I say this to you. It's only those that are true and everyone else. And I could not describe. I'm a long time saved. I can remember shortly after I was saved. And there's a man, his name was Campbell. And he preached a message in Newry. And here was his title. The Day After the Lord. What a day that'll be. Loved ones to realise the saved are really gone. I'm really left. And there's nothing for me, only the truth. Dear soul, I ask you tonight as I close, can the boys say we'll be ready? Can the girls say we'll be ready? Can we all say we'll be ready when Jesus comes? Is it any wonder Christ said on two occasions, he says, just listen to Christ's word. Thus be ye also. Therefore, be ye also ready. Then we have sinners brought up. See, all that are left behind when the Lord comes, or all that have died in their sins. Imagine a soul dying in their sins without Christ. Jesus Christ said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. Imagine someone down here dying in their sin, or down this side here. They just solemnly and ready to die in their sin. Dying in their sin. Or imagine one been left behind when the Lord. And then the final assize, the book's open. John says, I saw Christ sitting on the throne. And he says, I saw the dead. He says, all those mighty men, those girls that didn't get saved, those boys that was left behind when the Lord came, those grannies that were never saved. He says, I saw them all brought up, he says. And you know what amazes me at that scene every time I read it, put the fear of God into any man. The silence of the scene. The silence of the scene. Christ on the throne. He had been lifted up on a cross for you, dear soul. He longs to bless you and save you. You sit in the room tonight, but you won't come. Now, and he's been, and he has received all the saints. He has come back to the earth and received the saints. So, and he's been here on this earth. He's been on this earth reigning. And now he's on the throne. And they're all brought up. And there they stand. Mind your heart, you sinners, to stand today. Rushing, we're all the same. Rushing. Busy. Rush, 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 rush. You could hardly get people to stop. It's all for me. The sinners now, listen. Stand. Stand. Still. Still. Stand. Silent. And the book's open, the Bible's there. Earth's records. And the Lamb's book of life. And they're brought up. And here's what Jesus Christ says. Here's what John says. Whosoever not found written in the book, brought up, stand there silent. And the message is, whosoever not found written in the book, cast into. Here, people, I say it softly to you. In God's name, get saved. In God's name, make sure you're ready. For it says, whosoever not found written in the book, cast into the lake of fire. I close, people. I would say to you tonight, O be saved, his grace is free. O be saved, he died, for thee shall we pray. Father, we quietly close our meeting again here in Ballyclare. We ask thy blessing upon thy word. We're thankful for the reverent attention given. We pray for any in the room that know not Christ. We ask of thee for their salvation. We pray the devil will not win the day with them, but even this very night they will seek the Lord where he may be found and call upon him. While he is near, we ask in the honoured name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.